Father in heaven, how thankful we are to have a God like you. How thankful I am to have a church like this. And how thankful we are to have a Savior, Jesus Christ. And now we want to see and hear Jesus. Make it possible, Lord, so that this portion, the spoken word, can be as blessed as the previous parts. And when we leave, we'll be changed. Use me, Lord, in spite of me. And we will give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Wise men have one thing in common. And you know what that one thing is? This may surprise you. Okay, I'll let you, cogitate on that for a second. But the truth is, they are good listeners. And so therefore, when you come to them for their wisdom, they have something to share because they are good listeners. And you see the picture on the screen there? Neither do I. But there's a person there I wanted you all to see. And I wanted to know if anybody in here knew who this person was. And if you did, you deserve the Nobel Prize for Wheel of Fortune or something. The picture that is not on the screen is of a man. Did anybody know yet who he is? No, it isn't Jesus. That's a good guess. But you'll see he's an older man. Okay, I'll go about it a different way. Back in the 70s and early 80s, there was an investment house that had a saying that caught the attention of everybody in an advertisement that caught the attention of everybody. And that advertisement was, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. For you see, the truth is, when investors want to invest their hard-earned money, they want to know where to place their money for the greatest yield. They want to place their money with those they can trust. With those who have a proven track record of wise investing. And we always turn to those who are wisest when we are dealing with significant matters. We turn to those who have earned the right to be heard. And if they have earned the right to be heard, it is precisely on the count of the fact that they have proven themselves to be good listeners. Hey, you remember E.F. Hutton? And it's really true. And they actually show, I have a picture of an old picture in which they had an advertisement and two very refined gentlemen were sitting at lunch in a very elegant restaurant. And one of them was talking to the other and he suddenly said, E.F. Hutton told me. And all of a sudden, all the clinking and the clamor and the low rumble and hum of conversation ceased. And everybody went like this because they knew if E.F. Hutton spoke, it was wisdom. Well, my friends, part four of this series called The IMs of John is entitled, Listen to the Bread of Life. This will all make sense in a second. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to John, the sixth chapter. John, the sixth chapter. As we continue our series entitled The IMs of John, Part 4, Listen to the Bread of Life. John 6, verse 35, and then we'll skip to 47. Do you have John 6? Children, you got your Bibles? want the children to open their Bibles, if they would, and turn to this beautiful story in John 6. And let's start with verse 35. Everybody have it? Okay, 35, and then we'll go over to 47. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Verse 47. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that no one may eat of and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of this world. So I want you today to listen to the bread of life. And we're going to answer one question in doing this. And that one question is, what does Jesus mean when he says, I am the bread of life? And in order to determine this, we're going to do three things today as we listen to the bread of life. Number one, we are going to see it comes from heaven. Number two, we are going to see that it must be gathered. And number three, it keeps the Sabbath. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Exodus, the 16th chapter. Exodus, the 16th chapter, and we'll take part one, that this bread comes from heaven. Exodus 16. What a beautiful passage of Scripture we have here. And I hope you've read it before, but I'm hoping some of the points we make today will enhance this for you. If you have your Bibles, open them. If you didn't bring your Bibles, bring them. This is the Word of God. We're sharing together. And we're going to start for this point number one, the bread comes from heaven, in verse 11 of chapter 16. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quail came at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Now, brothers and sisters, you know the story that the Israelites were coming out of bondage in Egypt. And of course, in the wilderness, there was no McDonald's, Taco Bell, etc. They had to have food to eat. And so God miraculously provided for their need by raining down from heaven every morning a special substance called manna. And that substance, of course, came from heaven. You know, have you ever stopped to think the miracles that God performed in behalf of this group of people who had been in slavery for 250 years? They had been down there for 400 years. but they were in slavery for 250 years. And the miracle after miracle after miracle he performed in their behalf. And by the way, from this we see human nature. All along the way, what did the Israelites do? They complained. They complained. And now here they are in the wilderness. They didn't have any food. And of course, instead of coming to Moses and say, Moses, let's pray to the Lord and ask Him to divinely intervene so that we can have something to eat, figure out how He's going to take care of our hunger, they complain and they grouse and they gripe and they even say, the Lord brought us out here to kill us. In spite of their complaining, what did God do? Is there something wrong with mine? You don't want me to touch it? Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. There's E.F. Hutton, by the way. You wouldn't believe how hard it was to find a picture of this guy. No matter how successful he was. What does Jesus mean by I am the bread of life? Bread from heaven. In spite of their complaining, God again, in mercy, because of Moses' intercession, answered their prayer and gave them food. And that food came from heaven. So as we're looking for the meaning of what did Jesus mean by I am the bread of life, notice first of all, this came from heaven. The bread of life came from heaven. As illustrated beautifully in this story. Take a look back at John 6, verse 32 and 33. Keep your finger there in Exodus. We're going to go right back there for point number two. But go back to John 6. And this time, let's look at 32 and 33. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who came down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so as Jesus here in John 6 is in a discussion with the Israelites over the reality of spiritual things, they throw in His face, oh, you just fed 5,000, huh? Well, I want you to know that Moses fed us for 40 years. And when Jesus waited patiently for they to get done with their rebuttals, He then looked at them and said, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father. And by the way, He gives you the true bread that comes down and gives His life for the world. Who is that bread? That bread of life is Jesus. Let's keep building as we look at what does Jesus mean by the bread of life. Number two, it must be gathered. Let's go back to Exodus 16. Okay, we know this bread comes from heaven, but notice it must be gathered. And we're going to continue our story. I left off at verse 15, and I'm going to pick it up at verse 16, and I'm going to read through 21. Did you keep your finger there? This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer of it for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. And then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. And every man that gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Disappeared. Well, I want you to know it's got to be gathered. I want you to know it's out there laying on the ground, but unless you go and get it, it does absolutely no good for you. Right? Am I right? Every morning you must go out. And by the way, you can't take two portions of it, because if you do, because you don't feel like going out the next morning, you want to sleep in. That little bit that you left from the day before will do what? It will rot right there in your house. Gone. In fact, what another miracle God performed in their presence by the simple fact that on a particular day it would rot if they left it in the house for one day. In fact, when I get to point number 3, you'll see what I mean by that. Secondly, in the society in which the Israelites lived, they had to gather in the morning. Now, how does that translate to us today? You know, today I hear people say, well, I'm not a morning person. Some of you say that, right? I'd rather do it at night. And I'll tell you something, I don't care if you do it at night, just so you can tell me you stay awake and you're getting something out of it. In their society, it had to be gathered in the morning. But whatever time is good for you, do it. But it better be the best time. When you're the most alert. When you're the most awake. When you're the most receptive. And you must go out and do that every morning. And if you don't do it early enough, what happens? It melts. It's gone. You lost out. You missed. You might have to go to the neighbors and beg for a little bit of theirs for that day, and they might look at you and say, well, we only have enough for ourselves. What did Jesus mean by, I am the bread of life? Would you believe the answer for me is so vivid in the Old Testament before Jesus even showed up? Brothers and sisters, every day you got to go get your manna. And you got to do it before it melts. And let me tell you, I experience this on a daily basis. That if I don't go out and I don't gather the manna right away, the phone begins ringing. I remember something that I got to do at the church. Somebody calls and says I have a crisis. And the next thing I know, I didn't gather the manna. And when I come home, whatever time later it is, and you know what? It melted. And how many times, if you're like me, you said, well, tomorrow this won't happen. What did Jesus mean when He said, I'm the bread of life? How can we go to the Old Testament and find the answer the way we do, so vividly illustrated in an experience that the Israelites had? I think I can suspect that you already understand that when Jesus spoke of being the bread of life, He was talking in a spiritual sense. That those who eat my flesh and drink my blood are the ones that have eternal life. These are the ones that spend time with me every day. These are the ones that get to know me every day. These are the ones that set aside a certain time every day to pray and study their Bible. These are the ones that may even go to bed a little earlier than they really want to, even though something special or even the news is on. Because they know if they don't go to bed a little earlier, they can't get up in time to pick up the manna before it melts. And remember, yesterday's manna doesn't last for today. So what did Jesus mean when he said, I am the bread of life? First of all, this bread comes from heaven. Secondly, it must be gathered. And thirdly, and by the way, this is the last point, this bread keeps the Sabbath. Take a look at Exodus 16. We're going to continue the very same story. Let's pick it up in 22, right where we left off. And look what it says over there. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy day to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil today, and lay up yourself all that remains to be kept until tomorrow. Oh, wait a minute, Moses, you're contradicting yourself. There's a problem here. Do you see the problem? Do you see? Thank you. Some child said, yeah. The rest of you are just staring at me. So they laid up to the morning, verse 24, as Moses had said, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. And then Moses said, eat that day, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. By the way, you do know what the Israelites did, don't you? Burton, the next verse, I don't have the next verse. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. Human nature. Brothers and sisters, every single Sabbath was an incredible miracle performed in behalf of the Israelites who were hard-hearted and stiff-necked, just like you and me. For on Sunday, if you left it to Monday, it bred worms and stank. If Monday you left it to Tuesday, it bred worms and stank. And Tuesday, if you left it to Wednesday, it bred worms and stank. And Wednesday, if you leave it till Thursday, it bred worms to stank. But Friday, you left it, and on Sabbath morning, it was fresh. Because it is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. This bread kept the Sabbath. What did Jesus mean by, I am the bread of life? Well, look what Luke 4... Anybody know what Luke 4:16 says? Come on. Luke 4:16. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And let's take a look at Acts 17:2. Acts 17, verse 2. Look what it says there. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them for three Sabbaths, reasoning with them from the Scriptures. And finally, I want to look over at Revelation, the first chapter. Take your Bibles and go to Revelation, the very first chapter. The last book in the Bible, Peter. Okay, thank you. And look at verse 10. And what does it say? And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. By the way, that's directly from the Old Testament, in which we say God is the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. This is Jesus talking, and he calls himself the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. Why? He is exactly the same as God, Jesus is God. And notice it says that John received the vision of the book of Revelation on what day? The Lord's Day. And by the way, the Sunday churches have stolen that phrase from us by now claiming that what John was talking about is Sunday. And how a sad situation that is, for we find in both Matthew 12:8 and in Mark 2:28 that Jesus clearly says, I am Lord also of the Sabbath day. So if the Lord Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath day, what day is the Lord's day? The bread keeps Sabbath. The bread keeps Sabbath. So what does Jesus mean by I am the bread of life? Oh, I'm delayed here. Sorry about that. Well, let's get a little farther. I want you to go to Deuteronomy 8, 9 through 19. This is the closing illustration. Deuteronomy 8. Verse 9. Now I want you to listen very carefully because this is intricate, but when you catch it, I think it'll be very edifying to all of us. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Sound familiar to today? There shall not be found among you any one who makes his sons and his daughters pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. That's a lot of people. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For all these nations which you will dispose, do what? What does it say? My Bible says, listen. They listen to the soothsayers and the diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. The Lord your God will raise up for you what? A prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall, my Bible says hear. Him you shall hear. Don't be like the nations around that listen to that high, incredible list of people. That's like getting your newspaper and immediately turning to the astrology section and read your, what do you call that? But God will raise up among you a prophet. Him you should hear. I wonder who that is. Well, let's look at John 1. Let's put together two more texts, John 1. And I want you to notice what the religious leaders said to John the Baptist. Maybe some of you remember this. If you ever wondered what they were talking about, now you're going to know what they were talking about. John 1, chapter verse 21. Notice what it says. Okay, I better do 19. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Well, they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." And then notice what they said. "Are you the prophet?" Where do you think they got that? Where do you think they got that? Deuteronomy. "Are you that prophet that Moses talked about?" And look what he said. "No." I wonder who that prophet was. You'd really think it was John the Baptist. Be raised among his brethren, and you're supposed to hear him. Well, let's try one more. Let's go to Matthew, the 17th chapter, and see if we can't find the clue and finally solve the puzzle of what did Jesus mean by "I'm the bread of life," even though you've already done that. Even though you've already probably figured it out, right? What do we find in chapter 17 of Matthew? What's it called? The Transfiguration. Okay? Now, at Jesus' baptism, when he came up out of the water, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and ascended upon him. And then it said, God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." I'd like to assert to you that this is the first time Jesus had heard the Father's voice since he became a babe in Bethlehem. A high spiritual moment for Jesus at his baptism because he heard the Father's voice. Now we're at the Mount of Transfiguration, and notice what happens here. We want verse number 5. And so I'm going to read 4. "Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him.'" Who's that prophet Moses spoke about in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy? The one that we're supposed to hear what he says. It is Jesus Christ. And the second time that God spoke from heaven, In the presence of John and Peter and James, they clearly heard the Father say, "Listen, you three, listen to what my Son says. This is the only way you're going to be transfigured." Do you listen to the Son's voice every single day of your life? Have you set aside a time, a place, a location, a schedule in which you come and you say, "The Bible says I'm supposed to hear you, so Lord, speak to me." And then wait. And read your Bible. Because the second time the Spirit, that the Father spoke from heaven to Jesus, he clearly said, "Hear him." And here we got the nations that God cast out. In fact, if you wondered how God could arbitrarily take people who were living in the land and get rid of them and let his people come and that not be called illegal or unethical or immoral, it is because they were so polluted, so perverted, so deceived, they were useless even to themselves, and it was only appropriate they be overthrown and replaced by a group of people who were destined or supposed to heal and help and encourage and feed and clothe and bring peace to the population. They were listening to the voices of Satan. And so the Bible clearly says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And since He's not here to chew on, it must mean something else. It must mean that He's the manna that every morning is present, should you make the effort and take the time. And if you do, you be changed into His likeness from your likeness. Because he who eats this bread will not die. And so, way back in the Old Testament, Moses said something very amazing. Again, in the book of Deuteronomy, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I want everyone in this room, including me and the children, to not leave this sanctuary until you silently bowed your head and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, give me the Holy Spirit so that every day I will spend time listening to your voice. Instead of all the distraction and clatter and clutter of the world. Father, I thank you for being the bread of life and for making it plain so that we can see that you're pleading with us to spend time with you so that you can change us. Lord, don't let anyone leave here, including the children, without silently saying to you, Lord, help me to succeed at spending time with you and to get there before it melts and to not let yesterday work because it'll bred worms and stink. So that we can be a strong church, Lord. And you can send any person, regardless of how wounded and bruised and beaten and bloody they are, and they can walk through these doors and we'll put our arms around them like they were our long lost grandma or grandpa. And they will see Jesus in human flesh from us because we spend time with you. Don't let us leave, Lord, without saying, yes, Jesus, we're going to spend time with you. And then we will succeed in bringing honor and glory to your name. Thank you for hearing this prayer, for answering it, and for noting all the decisions that have been made so that you can come up alongside us now and give us the strength to follow through because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-223-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.